friends, we got a show for you. So come on, come on, come on, it's time for Covey Talks. This ain't no matter if I'm right or you're wrong. It's just a means to open up the dialogue. Shout out, it's time for your voice to be heard. So come on, come on, come on, it's time for Cody Talks.
Hey, good morning, everyone, and thanks for getting up at this ridiculous time slot that we have to join us live if you're out there listening. It's the Cody Talks Show. It's December 9th. It's December 9th, Sunday, December 9th. We got a great guest in studio today. He brought scotch with him right here. Not sure if there's any FCC violations. Not anymore. We're good. Plus, we're the video's on the web. You didn't used to be able to like actually show whiskey on TV, right? Yeah, wasn't there some rules with that? But internet, we could ignore the rules. And he brought glasses. So you stick with us for an hour. It may be a real good show. We're on CodyTalks.com. We're on 94.7 live here in South Central Kansas. We don't take call-ins, but we'd like to interact with you if you want on Facebook.com/CodyTalks or CodyTalks on Twitter. So fire away. Bob will have interesting responses to anything you choose to say, as well as he has a ukulele case, too, that the scotch came out of, but I'm pretty sure I saw a ukulele go back into. So
yeah,
you never know.
Request in this second half.
There you go. Song requests. He'll play them on the ukulele on the Cody Talk Show. We start out every week. I like to do a current event. I used to dedicate 15 minutes to it, and now I think my guests are more interesting than anything else happening. But I do want to talk real quick. 2 days ago, the anniversary of Pearl Harbor. I'm a big history buff. I love studying history just for my own selfish reasons. But I also think there's certain things that happened in this country that it really is our responsibility to continue to pass on. And I don't think, I hate the term kids these days because it's really parents these days. I mean, if kids these days are all screwed up in general, to some extent, I think it's because parents have gotten lazy, not because kids have gotten lazy. But I think less kids these days grasp the magnitude of a thing like Pearl Harbor. You know, even my daughter who's 15, you know, she was only 4 when, the attack on the Twin Towers happened, which was really the last thing of that magnitude, in my opinion, that's happened in the United States in history. But I posted a post on Facebook and I wanted to just shout it to the world here that's listening on the show. Take the time if you have kids to just get them to understand, to know the magnitude of events like Pearl Harbor and what our country had to fight back through, and throw, I'm not talking about just a purely patriotic America's perfect and the greatest, because that's not the, America is the greatest in my opinion, but far from perfect. But make sure that your kids take the time to look back at history, because I don't think it's always presented to them in schools in a way that they're interested in it and pay attention to it. And an event like Pearl Harbor is something that I'm pretty passionate that people should understand the magnitude of those type of events in forming our country and the way that we had to kind of bond together. People need to understand that the vast majority of our country wanted nothing to do with World War II until the morning of December 7th, 1941. And I think learning from those type of things and understanding them helps make people better citizens, as well as hopefully makes us have less mistakes in the future in the things we do. It's not always the case. We prove drastically on a daily basis that we don't learn from history. But anyway, that's my current event. We're going to move directly on to our guest, Bob Colliday. I don't even really know how we met. It seems like we've known each other for
10 years, maybe.
Yeah, but that's kind of just totally made up, too, because I really don't know. I mean, it's been at least 6, but maybe 12.
I was trying to think about that. I think you interviewed me for a job, and it seems like it was about 10 years ago. That's Yeah, I think I knew of you.
Yeah, a little coding action maybe. You were doing a little coding. Anyway, we've known each other for a long time. Run into each other at things, events. I love events. You love events. Put on events. The fact that you play the ukulele is a pretty unique thing, but maybe not even the most unique thing about you. Tell us a little bit of the background history of Bob Colliday. Like, start at zero and then get to now, but make it take 2 minutes.
I was born here in Hutchinson, Kansas. Went to Nickerson Schools, which is why I am who I am, I guess.
Right.
Because that's how that happens. I never was involved in, like, the arts or anything growing up, other than just being on stage my entire life, just being me to people.
Right, not literally on stage. Just
just making the world my stage.
Just being Bob.
Yeah, on always.
Right, on always.
It wasn't until, actually I think, and not to be a downer, but my sister died about 12 years ago, well, more like 14 years ago, and she was in school and in life just more of a community person, did things in the arts, sang, and I had always wanted to but just never did. So it kind of was one of those moments where I said,
right.
I think I was about 30, but I thought it's never too late to start doing those things. So that summer I started acting in the local theater and started teaching myself guitar. So that's kind of where it started. So
I didn't know that. I don't know the adjective. I was going to say good. I think it is a good story. It's an interesting story. It's not a good thing that led to it, but it led to good things.
Yeah.
It's a way to make the most of a situation, because now I would consider you one of the most active people in Hutchinson, I'll say in the music community, in the arts community, as far as just being out and doing things. You act with the local family theater.
Mostly the Hutchinson Theater Guild now.
Theater Guild, right. And then you just, you know, you never know where we're going to see you around town playing the ukulele. How did the ukulele work its way into your repertoire?
Well, my sister-in-law was getting married, and it was right around the time I'd been playing guitar probably 3 years. And usually I was taking my guitar with me everywhere, but for whatever reason I didn't take it with me. And the wedding was out of town, and we went to a music store, and I saw the uke and thought, that's a very portable instrument I could take anywhere. And bought one and just started trying to teach myself. Honestly, for the first 2 years, this sounds really stupid, but I didn't even know how to tune it. So I was playing it wrong, in my opinion. Some people still play. I was using a pick, which really you shouldn't use a pick on a ukulele.
Right. Well,
just
yeah,
for those of you starting out from a guitar to a uke, you really shouldn't use a pick. But so it was really just 2 years of experimenting with it and learning the instrument. I don't remember how many years ago that was, but
is it? I've been trying to figure out how to word this, because there's something comical about someone playing the ukulele because it's so small.
Right. Yeah.
And I think, like, if you walk up to someone playing the ukulele and from a distance, like, say you're far enough away that you can't hear them, but you can see them. To me, it's comical. The visual of it is comical. And then when someone can play it and sounds good, and it's not, you know, it's serious music and it sounds good and it's quality. It's this really weird mixture of things that happen when you watch someone play the ukulele, in my opinion, because it looks like you're playing a clown instrument, like something that's so small that you're not supposed to really play it, almost, to me.
Well, and part of that is because it is so small. If you've seen guitar players, there's a lot less movement.
Yeah.
There's a little scientific explanation of this, but you have a big soundboard on a guitar, and the strings are metal. So you do one strum, and that sound will last 3 or 4 seconds, even on an acoustic guitar. So you can be a lot less active on a uke about the time you finish your strum,
it looks like
the sound dies.
It looks like you're just beating the crud out. I mean, you're just waylaying on it.
It looks like you're not really, it looks like you're just messing around on a uke, because you have to keep the strumming constant on the uke, because the sound dies almost instantly. So it looks less professional.
It's very interesting to me, because I think the first time I ever saw you play was at the farmer's market here in town, that I ever saw you play the ukulele.
Yep.
And it kind of just makes me smile, because watching it happen is a comical thing. but then you play it well and sing well, and you always sing. I think the first song I ever heard you sing while playing the ukulele was a Violent Femmes song. It's still one of my favorites that you ever...
I kind
of
hicked that song up on the ukulele.
Well, but it's excellent, and you sing it well, and you play the music well, but it doesn't look like it should be sounding good because of how violently you're just beating the tar out of this little tiny instrument when you're up there. But anyway, the thing is interesting to me. I want to talk a little bit about... We had Brian Davis on 2 weeks ago. Brian Davis, another local musician, wrote and recorded our theme song for us for the show here.
Yeah, I had submitted Monkey on a String, one of the songs I wrote, but I remember you turned that down.
We took it to the listeners, and it came in a close second. Came in a very close second. We talked about the local music scene. That's part of the conversation that I want to have today with you. And I think you do too. You made some comments on Facebook. I think Hutchinson probably has the same situation. I think probably every town its size, except maybe big college towns, have this issue. When I say big college towns, I mean like Lawrence. The University of Kansas has a much more vibrant music scene than we do. I think that's completely attributed to the fact that 20,000 17 to 23 year olds roll into town every fall, and that helps the situation. But Hutchinson has a lot of people that are really negative about the arts or the lack of, in Hutchinson. I kind of take the defend Hutchinson stance on the sense that, A, there's a lot of things happening at any given time. And B, I think some of the music people need to step up their pace in how hard they work to make it an enjoyable scene. We got 2 minutes before a break. What's your thoughts on... I didn't do a very good job of capsulizing it, but what do you think about the music scene in Hutchinson, Kansas? Let's just go with that.
Well, I think it exists, and kind of what you were saying, a lot of the bands who are really good, I think... including myself, have maybe almost given up on there actually being a strong music scene in Hutchinson. There are places to play, and it in bits and pieces. I think Third Thursday is a great example of what a music scene could look like in Hutchinson. But one day out of the month doesn't really make a music scene in a city. I think it's a great start, and I think it's shown, hopefully, to the community that there are local bands that are entertaining. I think probably that's one of, if I could tell everybody one thing, is just because you don't know a band or even think you like the genre, that you're probably going to be entertained and have a good time at a live show. Pretty much any show you go see, I think the bands have put in the time. Most of them, if they're out there in front of people, they either have the confidence to put on a great show, overcoming their talent, or they've practiced so hard that the talent is there and you're going to have a good time at the show. So that's the one thing I would like to tell people is, I think sometimes people think, I've never heard of Duffy McGee.
Exactly.
How good could they be? I've never heard of them. Right. I think that's a mental block for people.
No, I think it is too. Let's take a quick break here a little bit early, because I want to deal with that specifically, and I'll get started ranting and go over the commercial time. So we'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back on Cody Talks with Bob.
KSKU brings you this special holiday greeting.
Hi, this is Chris Corey, your neighborhood State Farm agent. And I want to thank you for your business this past year, and I look forward to working with you in 2013. wishing you and yours a happy holiday from all of us here at Chris Corey State Farm.
Happy holidays from Hit Radio 94.7 KSKU.
At West Jewelers, let's fall in love.
I'm Richard Westfall of Westfall Jewelers.
And I'm Julie Westfall.
We're inviting you now to save during a holiday sale through Christmas. Save 20 to 50% on fine jewelry.
We have beautiful diamond rings, diamond earrings, and colored stone jewelry, all at up to 50% savings store-wide. We offer free layaway and one-year interest-free financing.
This Christmas, buy from a jeweler you know and trust. Our reputation assures you the finest quality jewelry at the best price.
Visit Westfall Jewelers at 127 North Main in downtown Hutchinson or at rwestfall.com.
At Westfall Jewelers, you'll fall in love.
KSKU.
Cody Talk.
And we're back. My mic was a little crazy there. Sorry, it fell over on me. We're talking about the local music scene. I actually wrote this blog post a couple of days ago called What Kind of a Fan Are You? And it was about sports and how I don't think that, I personally am a fan of football. So I like to go watch third grade kids play football that I don't even know. I love watching college football that's not my team. And I think so many people, get so wrapped up in being a fan of their team that they kind of lose a respect and an enjoyment for the game in general. Don't get me wrong, I'm a huge Pittsburgh Steelers fan, but at the same time, when they lose, I still respect the other team and the game that they played. I think some of that has happened in the world in general, that people have become so laser focused on the one thing that they think they love that they've lost respect for the bigger thing as a whole. And I think it applies to music too.
Absolutely.
You know, if it's not band A, I don't want anything to do with it, as opposed to I just love live music. Love the talent that the people have. I admitted in the fifth grade when I tried the sax and that I don't have the time and the discipline. I'm not going to make the time because I don't have the discipline, to become a musician in any way, but I love anyone that can stand up in front of me and entertain me with a talent that they have. It's the same thing applies to a football game. I look at those people and think, man, they're working really hard to make something interesting happen for me to watch. And there's a ton of that happening in Hutchinson, Kansas. It's just not always a top 40 band that everybody's heard of. That
probably rarely a top 40 band.
Maybe never a top 40 band currently.
Yeah.
I guess every once in a while the state fair knocks one out.
I'm always out of town during the state fair, so I kind of discount that personally.
You're always at the same time frame as the Walnut Valley Festival, right?
Yeah,
yeah, great. Great
about
event
every,
down there.
About every 10 years it lines up weird if that one year, like 2008, when September 1st was the first Friday, or something like that, then it's earlier, so I can go to the fair.
Get a little fair time.
Yeah.
The fair's a good thing, and every once in a while there's some great acts there. But again, same situation there, even in a 10,000-seat venue in Hutchinson, Kansas. A lot of people are upset by who the name on the board is, you know, as opposed to, I just want to go see a great concert, have a good time, and enjoy myself, I love your message that, you know, just get out and go have a good time at these events, most of which are free, quite honestly. You can go hear live music a lot of nights a month for free in Hutchinson, Kansas. And I love that you've stuck with
free
this.
With tips.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. Fill the tip jar. But I've tried to do some things over the last few years to kind of fight for that. Very unsuccessfully, but I'm still continuing the battle, and I love that you kind of fight the battle too and keep providing music, enjoying yourself. I think that's the biggest thing is people know that if they're going somewhere that Bob Holliday's at, that at least Bob's going to be having fun and, and amusing the rest of us. So that part of it I love. You've had several different act names, band names.
Yeah.
Over the last few years that I'm aware of. What's the rundown? What's the rundown on those?
I think the one that no one has ever heard of, probably where I actually got my start was, except for the Kudas in high school, I guess that would be the initial. My stepbrother and I were in a band called the Kudas, which was an air band.
Nice.
I actually built a guitar out of particle board that was just an air guitar, and we would, our first and only performance was at the 1987 Nickerson High School after prom party in the talent show. My stepbrother played beer bottles and the clothes hamper for drums, and I played air guitar and sang over. We wouldn't even karaoke. We just yelled over. We yelled parody lyrics over another band.
That's excellent, right there. Is there video of that anywhere?
There is actually, unfortunately, and fortunately, there's a still photograph of it. Both Kyle and I were wearing black spandex pants and bow ties, and
wow.
That's it.
Wow. That has to be found and distributed.
Yeah. And then after I started actually learning guitar, we actually rehearsed and practiced for a lot longer than we ever performed. I was in a band called Highway 50 Hammer.
Highway 50 Hammer. Okay, that's not even one I knew. You haven't even got to the list that I know yet.
So it was just me and Mike Miller, this phenomenal instrumentalist. He's, I guess, mostly from Salina. That's where I know his work from. He's any stringed instrument he can just play the heck out of.
Right.
And I just played rhythm guitar, sometimes rhythm uke, and we wrote songs and recorded them. Mike really liked recording more than performing. So we did two shows. One show we just did out at the Sylvan Park,
right,
in that little gazebo. We just sat up there and played to whoever was walking by.
Those are sometimes the best shows.
Yeah.
The walk-bys.
Yeah. It was strange because, I mean, this was back in 2003. And there wasn't a lot of that going on. People were just like, I mean, we were full PA set up and everything in the gazebo without asking permission, by the way. Just setting up there. There's power on there all the time, by the way, for aspiring bands who want a nice place.
Sylvan Park, Hutchinson, Kansas.
And then we had one, we played at Halstead's Old Settlers Days. And then,
two shows, short-lived concert tour career with that band.
Just look us up on the Google, Highway 50 Hammer. 50 is the numeral. And then shortly after that, or during that, I've been involved. Once I started playing guitar, there's an organization in Hutchinson, which I don't really utilize anymore just because it's one thing I've given up in my schedule. The fourth Sunday of every month, there's a group if you want to just get started or if you like to jam. It's called the Kansas Old Time Fiddlers, Pickers, and Singers, and it's the Cow Creek chapter, and they meet at 1 o'clock every fourth Sunday. At, I think it's still Elmdale Community Center, whichever the one is over on Plum and G and Plum, somewhere around there.
That's Elmdale.
All right, so they meet, and I played there as soon as I started playing guitar.
What's the name of that organization again?
Kansas Old Time Fiddlers, Pickers, and Singers.
Excellent.
Cow Creek Chapter.
They need an acronym, but that's a weird acronym, so that wouldn't work. Go ahead.
So I just, when I first started playing guitar, within 3 months, I was really just Bob, and I just, even though I really couldn't play hardly at all, I was already playing in front of people, making them listen. Tammy, my lovely wife, is probably the one who deserves the medal for when I was learning to play guitar, because even when you're just playing rhythm, you think, oh, this sounds exactly like the song, even though I'm just playing chords, and I'd say, hey, do you know what song I'm playing here? And she says, it sounds like every song you play.
Yeah.
So I started going to this organization. I think I placed an ad in the newspaper saying, is there anyone who will just play with me? Because Tammy was sick of it, I think.
Yeah.
And someone actually called me and said, hey, there's this organization that has a jam every month. So I started going. And it's a great place because it's not just a jam. It's a built-in audience, not just the people who are playing, but there's probably another 20, 25 people who show up there every month to hear
right.
the jam session and the show. So it was a nice way to get out there and learn to be in front of people and get over the fact of looking at your guitar while you're playing, just kind of honing your live music craft.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
So I went there and met this guy who had just moved here from Kansas City and had a separate jam session with him and another guy who played banjo. And he had an upright bass. And, I mean, I knew what an upright bass was and I knew where the notes were in theory because guitar is about the same. And after the jam, about 3 days later, he called me and he says, so do you really play bass? And I said, no. And he says, do you ever play bluegrass? And I said, no. He goes, do you want to play bass in a bluegrass band? I was like, sure.
The perfect answer to both those questions.
So it was me and Jim Gazaway and Jim Schimmel, and at that time, Harlan DePue. We had just a four-piece, how many of that people that is. It was the Gazaway Mountain Boys, what we eventually became.
Now I'm in the picture. That's the first band I knew of.
And eventually became Tammy Colliday and the Gazaway Mountain Boys
right.
when they found out that there was one half of the married couple that really could sing.
And she can definitely sing, for sure.
So Tammy kind of became the, well, not kind of, became the real vocalist for the band. So we did quite a few shows as that.
Right, yeah, that was, you guys were around playing with that. I mean, I saw you several times play as the Gazaway Mountain Boys.
Yep, and eventually we took one hiatus, and then we took another hiatus, and then now we're done. And, but, I mean, they, especially after I left, they became a really great bluegrass band, because I was never really, I always took him away from bluegrass whenever I sang, or even when Tammy sang, because neither of us were real strong bluegrass players or singers, so. But, yeah, and then we just started off, just Tammy and I, and somebody I worked with, we were just performing as Tammy and Bob Colliday. He said, you know, you're kind of like a folk band. You should call yourselves Simone and Garfunk. So for a while it was Simone and Garfunk. And that really didn't, the and kind of felt funny in there. So I changed it to do, which is kind of French for of. Which doesn't make any sense, but it sounds really French.
Right, it does sound very French.
So that's our current. We have a drummer now, Matt Parks. So,
yeah.
So we are Simon Dugarfunk.
And absolutely no reason with the music that it sounds French. It
just, nope.
It adds a sophistication level when you can use the French accent behind it. I brought up the SoundClick page for Highway 50 Hammer.
Look at that.
This graphic is just. That's incredible.
That hammer in the background there is why we're called Highway 50 Hammer. I actually found that hammer on Highway 50. I was driving by at a reasonable speed and managed to see this hammer, which is just a beater hammer, and it was on the side of the road. I turned around and picked it up, and it was on the floorboard of my car then for a good 8 months because that's how I am.
Right.
And
not the same way.
It was about the same time we were trying to think of a name for the band. And we were riding in the car, and I said, would you give me that Highway 50 hammer? And both of us looked and said, that's what we should call the band.
Excellent. So, Monkey on a String.
See, that was an original. A lot of those are from that time.
It goes clear back to Highway 50 Hammer days. Huh? I've heard Monkey on a String several times.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a little different song back then. It's gone through some iterations. I forgot another one, Blister Monkey.
Blister Monkey.
In one of the hiatuses of the Gazaway Mountain Boys, the mandolin player from, which was in the Gazaway Mountain Boys, the mandolin player was like the drummer in Spinal Tap. We went through them like whatever you go through quickly.
Right.
There was Harlan DePue, Mike Snyder, then John DePue, which is Harlan's son, and finally Dave Shimming. So, like, we were always going through mandolin players. But anyway, John and I and Mike Miller from Highway 50 Hammer started playing. We played a couple of shows as Blister Monkey.
What, there's got to be a story there. What's that story?
Blister in the Sun and Monkey on the String was the reason we started playing.
Blister in the Sun, that's
Violent
the
Femmes.
Violent Femmes yeah. song that I like.
Yeah.
All right, well, we got to take another quick break, and we'll be right back in just a minute and a half with Bob Colliday on Cody Talks.
CentralKansasHelpWanted.com. CentralKansasHelpWanted.com is now up and running. To place your first ad at CentralKansasHelpWanted.com, free, be one of the first 50 users to post with the tracking code TRYITOUT. All one word, no spaces. That'll give you a 30-day job posting with colors and logo included, all free. So post your ad today at CentralKansasHelpWanted.com to be one of the first 50 users.
Do you have a hard drive? Put the first disk in. Metal side first. Go to the start button, then run, then type setup. Push the button by the drive to eject the disk. And press the button that says power on the machine without pictures on it. Now put in the disk. Go to start, run, and type setup. Do you have the icon on the desktop? I need you to look at the software you're using, though. What do you click on? What's the name of the icon you used to click on? Do you mean it won't even switch on? Or is it something else? Okay, what color is the click of the mouse plug? Do you see the orange hole in the back of the computer? That is where the mouse plugs into. What color is the plug on the keyboard? And do you see the purple hole in the back of the computer? That is where the keyboard plugs in. The kits are color-coded.
Tired of tech support you can't understand? Call Sanford's Computer Works today. And check us out on Facebook.
KSKU brings you this special holiday greeting.
Ebling Pools would like to send a big thank you and Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to all of our fireplace and swimming pool customers that have made our year absolutely wonderful.
Happy Holidays from Hit Radio 94.7 KSKU.
KSKU. Cody Talk.
All right, we're back on Cody Talks, December 8th. We've got Bob Colliday, local Hutchinson, Kansas musician. We just went through Bob's basic history. I think every great musician's had to bounce from band to band a little bit to find their niche, right?
Absolutely.
Monkey on a String, I think, is at least the original song of yours that I know the most.
Yeah, I hang on to it, and I don't remember if we'd ever did it in Gasway Mountain Boys, but every other band I've been in has done it.
Let's listen to it. Let's send it out across the radio waves and the internet waves for folks. We're playing the YouTube version from Simone du Garfunk, Monkey on a String, original song written by Bob Colliday.
And this was the last.
There you go, folks. Original Bob Holliday singing with Simone de Garfunk, his lovely wife Tammy.
Filmed by our future drummer at that time.
Really?
Yeah, it was filmographer.
Multitasker.
Yeah,
it was a great filming job. I love the song. I like, to me, knowing somebody gives that special connection. Is Tammy playing the ukulele there?
Yep, that's a baritone uke.
Oh, it's a baritone uke, and you're playing the stand-up bass. You just never know what instruments you guys are going to be having. And then you did a little mouth trumpet.
I call it, I trademarked that. It's called the vibro lip trumpet. So in our for those people on the interwebs, that's available on KTEL Records.
Excellent.
It even says that in here. Bob Ulele Holliday, vocals. Upright, bass, guitar, harmonica, tenor, banjo, kazoo, vibro lip trumpet, and ukulele.
Vibro lip trumpet.
Yeah. Lots of people have stolen that since I...
It's a cheap instrument.
Yeah, it is. Most people have it. Not everyone, to be fair.
Yeah. Not everyone knows how to use it, though.
Right,
just because you got it doesn't mean you know what you're doing with it.
That's absolutely true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't write songs a lot because of the way they usually hit me. Like that song... This sounds strange, and people...
The song's called Monkey on a String. I think we're expecting strange.
It was... Yeah, true. Bob Dylan wrote that song in a dream in my head. He was singing...
Not that strange. Well, I didn't think it was going to be that strange.
Sometimes I sing it like Bob Dylan would have sang it if he actually wrote it. In my dream, he was just singing it to me. And I woke up and just sat down with the guitar and just hit a record and just started... playing it and singing it. That's why it's such a weird song, because I didn't even know what was happening in that song until I was saying it. So it's kind of a fun song to write. Not all of them are that easy to write.
That quick?
Yeah.
I always had this vision that you have like this huge notebook of songs that you've written. You just don't play very many of them.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of songs I've written. And I use Tammy as a filter. If she says something like, yeah, that's a song. I know that it sucks.
It goes to the back of the
and
book.
And if she shows any thing like it might be okay, then I assume it
goes right to the public.
Better. Yeah, yeah. I tried a thing once called A Song a Day, which I did for a week, and there wasn't a single keeper in that whole week.
No, yeah, you're forcing it too much there.
And it was a good exercise, but I don't think it ever really did anything for me. I'd like to try it again. There's a guy on the internets, if you're familiar with those, named Jonathan Colton, and he was a software developer, which is what I do for work. And he did that, and while he was working for a year, he wrote a song a week, and his were all really good. He actually called it Thing a Week, and he recorded either a song he wrote or reimagined cover tune. Like he did a folk version of Baby Got Back, which if you haven't seen it, you really need to look up Jonathan Colton, Baby Got Back. It's amazing.
I haven't seen it. I'll check it out.
But he did that for a whole year, recorded a song, and made it available to the public using Creative Commons, and you could make videos out of it. He didn't care. Lots of people in the World of Warcraft made videos out of his songs. It's kind of funny. And just said, if you... whatever you want to give me, just send me a dollar on PayPal. And a year after he was done with that, he was able to quit his job and became a touring musician. So
I love those kind of stories. That's what the internets have provided us, because that's an impossible story without the internet. Oh,
absolutely.
And it just doesn't happen. There's absolutely no way. Those things didn't happen before then. We're going to take one more quick break here, which will leave us with a long final segment, but we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back with Bob Colliday on Cody Talks.
This is Sandra with Reno County Communities That Care. The direct cost of underage drinking for medical care and loss of work costs Kansas $187 million each year. Parents play a crucial role in discouraging their children from using alcohol. Talk early and often to your child and let them know that underage drinking is wrong. To learn more, visit ctcreno.org. Like us on Facebook at Reno County Communities That Care.
Moving back to Hutch was a great decision for our family. Lots of things have changed for the better. When it was time to move our bank accounts, we were pleasantly surprised. We discovered the First Now has mobile banking, a great new website, and they made buying our new house really easy.
First National Bank of Hutchinson knows your world is always moving. We're investing in you with new ways to help you conquer your financial goals. We'll help you manage the bills, the savings, and the future. First National Bank of Hutchinson, first for you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
KSKU brings you this special holiday greeting.
Hi, this is Michael Dick with DJ Liquor, here to wish each and every one a happy holiday season. Thank you for your business this past year, and we look forward to serving you in the future.
Happy holidays from Hit Radio 94.7 KSKU.
KSKU. Cody Talks.
All right, we're back with Bob Colliday. Bob, you have another project going that I want to talk about, because I think it's something that I wanted to say wouldn't be hard for other people to do, but that's not true because you've put a lot of work into it. But house concerts is the word for it, right?
Yep, that is.
You do house concerts where you bring acts in a very, sometimes very intimate environment.
Yeah.
To me, it's my favorite music in the world. I've actually had the luxury of, through a business that I ran before, I ran an outdoor outfitting business and had a couple of country music singers that were around and sat in the living room of a lodge and broke out a guitar. People, really good musicians that sat down with just them and the guitar. To me, that's honestly where you really learn how good someone actually is.
Oh, yes.
Because they're, I don't know how to put it, but they're like stripped down. They're, you know, it's just them and their instruments. Now, granted, there's a microphone there, but you're right there and you can hear their mm-hmm. voice around the microphone even. It's my favorite way in the world to listen to music. And you've done several of those, quite a few of which I've been able to attend. Talk about that a little bit. What inspired you to start doing house concerts in Hutchinson, Kansas?
A couple of times, it's been, I have a relationship with bands just from seeing their live show.
I just remembered a great story. Go ahead.
I just, through seeing live bands, like for the internet people who are watching, I have a two-man gentleman band shirt on. If you've ever seen them live, they're great. They love to talk to you afterwards. And that's the kind of band I like to see that'll talk to you afterwards. And just getting that relationship with them. One time they were doing, the way touring works really quickly, sometimes bands are traveling from one destination to another, like going from Denver to Oklahoma, and they have a dead date in between, and they'll say, hey, let's do a house concert. A lot of times they don't make as much money as they would as a regular show, but they generally are getting free lodging in the deal too, so it becomes worth it to them. And these guys sent out a message on Facebook, anybody in Kansas be able to do a house concert? And I said, yes, kind of like Cody's done for. I really didn't have any idea how I was going to do it. But I think that was probably the first one I'd been to, was the one with Kevin Montgomery that you organized.
Yeah, I
on
actually,
Twitter.
Exactly. A guy that I had conversations with on Twitter. I wasn't even aware at the time that he was a musician. It's a guy on Facebook named Kevin Montgomery, but that's pretty much his gig, I think. He does the thing called 50 States in 50 Days. Is that right?
Yep.
And he posted on Twitter that he needed to do a house concert in Kansas to make his 50 States in 50 Days. So the people that know me personally know that I really honestly put, yep, we got that covered. And then I realized that by no means could it happen in my house because we live out in the country and it's way too small. So I just started calling friends of mine that have houses and said, hey, you want to have a house concert? We got Nathan Meyer to go along with it. Really cool deal that I believe you hadn't originally planned on coming to. And then I'm pretty sure I talked you into coming in your pajamas.
Well, yeah, because it was about 9:45 or 10 and Tamia's was already turned in. And all my shoes and clothes were in the bedroom, and I didn't want to. Tammy would not let me out of the house just without questions.
Right.
So I just thought, rather than ask for permission, I'd ask for forgiveness. And I had on pajama bottoms and her house slippers.
Yeah, I think the slippers were the quality part of it.
It was a great time, and I think I ended up hosting him the next year.
Yeah.
So. But before that had even happened, I had had the Two Man Gentleman Band at Brian Rogers' house.
Right.
And it was a pool party house concert, and that was a lot of fun. So that and Tammy and I and Matt did a tour this summer. And as a band, there's really nothing more depressing than playing to the barista.
Right.
And that happened. In fact, I think one of the pictures I saw you put up was a picture of us, and we got completely set up, PA and everything, at this coffee shop. And a lot of times those places out of town will tell you, sure, come and play. And they're doing no promotion.
Right.
I mean, and if you're not local, no one's going to show up. Especially this one, they just happened to, they had us come in on, it was a Sunday because we needed that date. And they opened for us after they'd already closed. They reopened. And so no one came. And
it wasn't even normal business hours.
No, it wasn't normal business hours. And they did like zero promotion. I knew they had just hung up our poster that day because it was on the outside of the door.
Right.
So just kind of that experience of playing to the bartender or the barista. It was like, I know this happens to other bands too, even though we're not as famous as some of the other no names that are great out there that are touring. I knew that happened to them, and I thought, I need to make a safe haven for these bands coming through Kansas, sort of thing. And plus, give myself a chance to see some great music in an intimate setting.
I like how you made it a really noble cause that you were creating a safe haven for them.
It really is.
I thought it was just a selfish tactic to get to listen to good music.
It is both.
It's all right. It's all right for dual motives. I left this last segment a little bit long.
I also have one today, by the way.
What's that?
I have a house concert today. I have a few seats if you want to email me.
All right.
It's at 4 o'clock today. You can look his name up on the webs. U-C-H-E and the Crash. So Uche and the Crash. He's going to be here today at 4 o'clock. If you're interested, just email me at bcolliday@gmail.com.
There you go, folks. Opportunity to enjoy some live music today in Hutchinson, Kansas, if you get a chance. You have CDs. You have the merch.
We do have the merch. We just recorded a live one. Not sure if it's going to be released or not, but I hope to still release it. But right now I have this 2-year-old release. I think it's almost 2 years old, maybe a year and a half. Probably have about 15 copies left of it. So,
if folks wanted to say they got your email address now, is it available online anywhere?
I know it is. What is it? I think it might be Bandcamp. I think it's available. If you just go to our website, SimoneDugarfunk.com. I'm almost positive it has a link to it somewhere.
We've got links to your Facebook and Twitter both up on Cody Talk, so if we can go that route and get a hold of you.
I think actually through Facebook, it goes to Reverb Nation, and Reverb Nation for sure has a link to buy CDs. Again, if you just contact me, I'll definitely give you a link to how you can buy that.
All right. And Anything else that you want to deal with, talk about before I twist your arm into playing a song on the ukulele for us live here in studio?
I guess just to urge people to get out there. I think one shout out to a business in Hutchinson that does a great job of supporting live music and local live music is the Metropolitan Coffee Shop.
Oh, absolutely.
I think they're probably really the only one out there that does that anymore. It allows just about anybody. They'll give anybody a shot, I think, who's been tested if you want to play there. And this is just the 7 a.m. Scotch drinker and me talking, but I like to sometimes have an adult beverage when I'm enjoying live music. Not that it makes it better, but for some reason it just seems like the thing to do.
It makes it better.
So I wish we had something more like that, but house concerts are a pretty fun way to do that as well. So,
all right, well, we've got technically 9 minutes before he starts.
I'll play Inagata Da Vida.
There you go. Perfect. We had this whole conversation on whether it's legal or licensed. My thought is let's roll the dice. I want to hear a little bit of the Violent Femmes song that I remember so much on the ukulele, and then see if we can get you to play something original, too.
All right. Let's play like 45 seconds of Blister in the Sun.
Blister in the Sun,
really,
yeah, absolutely.
It'll be kind of close. All right, here we go. This is how it's done on ukulele.
When I'm walking, I strut my stuff, then I'm so strung out. High as a kite, I just might stop and check you out. Oh, let me go on. It's like a blister in the sun. Oh, let me go on. Oh, big hands, I know you're the one. Body and beats, I stain my sheets, I don't even know why. My girlfriend, she's at the end, she is starting to cry. Oh, let me go on. It's like a blister in the sun. Oh, let me go on. Oh, big hands, I know you're the one.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I'll never forget you playing that at the farmer's market. That had been like 6 or 7 years ago. There was so many things happening. First of all, I didn't know you all that well. Again, watching someone play the ukulele, it looks like they're beating the instrument up. Violent Femmes isn't necessarily the stereotypical music you think you're going to roll into at the farmer's market.
Not always.
Not 100% sure that all of the vendors there were big Violent Femmes fans.
A couple of them. Some out around Yoder.
They really get into the Femmes out there. Anyway, that is one of my fondest memories of you. Thanks for doing that. It's going to be a great way to market the archive of this video is that Violent Femmes on the ukulele on the show today. Now play us something original. We've already heard Monkey on a String. Play us something else original.
All right. There's a song. This song I wrote one day. I was home. Let's just say I was homesick. Probably all the description you really want.
I know the song, and I don't want any more description.
After you hear the song, that's all you're going to want to know. I was homesick, and I wrote this song.
Well, out in the backyard behind the tall pine, there's a small building that's a friend of mine. It's made of nails, and it's made of wood, and when you go and you do what you should. Outhouse, outhouse, oh, outhouse.
Sing along.
Outhouse, outhouse, oh, outhouse. Well, there's a little moon that's carved in the door. Open it up and you'll see much more. It's a two-holer, but why is that dumb? I ain't going in there with anyone. Outhouse, outhouse, oh, outhouse.
Outhouse, outhouse, outhouse,
outhouse. Outhouse, outhouse, oh, outhouse. On a warm winter's night or a cold summer's day, you were my place to get away. Going number one or going number two, when I went with you. Outhouse, outhouse, outhouse. Outhouse, outhouse, oh, outhouse. There's paper inside from the Sears catalog, and if you're feeling daring, we've got corn cobs. It don't smell fine down in that pit. I won't mince words, it smells like wet.
Outhouse,
outhouse, outhouse, oh, outhouse. Thank you very much.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you very much for making a Sunday morning a little bit more interesting for those of us that enjoy this time slot so much and would maybe rather still be in bed. I think I can lay claim to the only show host that's going to have a guy sing that song on the ukulele today.
I actually hope that doesn't happen. I hope someone else does.
I'm saying I don't think so
I don't
today.
Think it's
I mean,
happen.
In years to come, there'll probably be millions of times that it happens, but I think I have some serious worldwide exclusivity today.
I think you do.
It's tough. It's tough to beat a guy on the ukulele on a Sunday morning sipping scotch on the radio. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that is unique.
That's what I like to do. I like to do unique. Bob, I appreciate you having us on today. We got your website up there for folks watching on the internet. We got links up on there. And I appreciate you just, you're even more inspiring to me now to find out that you kind of changed and weren't really, I guess I kind of had you tagged as the, since birth, you'd been an artistic musical person. I think it's an even more inspiring story that something happened in your life to kind of draw that out, and make it happen. So you make Hutchinson more interesting for me. And, sometimes it's laughing and sometimes it's serious and the house concert things is, it's just an incredible addition, and I wish more folks would do more things like that. But the fact that it's happening at all is a good thing, and one of the things I love about Hutchinson. So thanks for coming on the show.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure.
You're our first live music act on the show in 24 weeks.
Great.
The ratings are probably just going to go through the roof.
24 weeks. Congratulations.
Yeah, it seems like we should be better at it. We've been doing it a long time now, but not we. Heath is excellent at his job. I'm amazed that I kept my voice all the way through, but we're coming to an end. Bob, seriously, thank you again. We'll have you on again sometime and get some more music out of you, some more great discussion. If you're coming on late here, the show will be up on archive to watch on video on CodyTalks.com here in the next hour, as well as it's available for a podcast download on iTunes. If you've been sucked into the Apple empire, you can download it on iTunes or Podomatic, CodyTalks.com, CodyTalks.Podomatic.com, or go to the website. It's all over the place. Just go to the Google, as Bob says, and you can find it. The archive will be up in the next hour or so. So thank you very much, and we'll see you next week on Cody Talks.
Don't matter if you ain't left or right, or you bleed red or blue. You better listen up, friends, 'cause we got a show for you.
Don't forget and tell your friends, Cody Talks is on every Sunday morning at 7 a.m. on 94.7 KSKU in Central Kansas and live worldwide on CodyTalks.com. See you next week.